You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. It's time to get catty, listeners. Do you find yourself living in a house ruled by your feline who's seemingly filled with catitude? Or do you dread giving your cat much-needed pills or injections to keep her healthy? Hey, fret no more. Help is here. Our guest today is Dr. Sophia Yen. She's a veterinarian and applied animal behaviorist who truly knows all things feline. Welcome back, Dr. Yen.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, I'm glad you're here. You know, in last week's show, Dr. Yen helped us figure out dogs, and she unleashed great tips on training and handling these canine pals. So today, it's all about the cat. After all, you know, cats rank number uno in popularity in America, so, you know, take that, Fido. And Dr. Yen is here to help you, cat lovers. So sit and stay. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Hey, ready to take a walk? Not just you, but the whole family. It's the 2009 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 7th from 11 to 3 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2009, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog, Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest today is Dr. Sophia Yen. Among her many accomplishments, she is a top veterinarian. She's an applied animal behaviorist. She's a lecturer and, yes, even a TV personality. She's appeared on Animal Planet and the Discovery Channel. Home base is the San Francisco Bay Area. But you know what? She's truly a gal who goes global. So we're very, very glad to have you back on the show, Dr. Yen.
Great being here.
You know, as editor of Catnip, and I've written a few pet books myself, I have found that people seem to know dogs, but they have no trouble fessing up. They just don't understand felines. You know, Dr. Yen, you have a must-read book that everybody from veterinarians, vet techs, and us pet lovers need to have. It's called Low Stress Handling, Restraint, and Behavior Modifications of Dogs and Cats. Now, if you have any trouble remembering the title, I'm not going to make you say it 10 times fast. Don't worry. Just zip over to her website. It's AskDrYen.com. askdryin.com. It's askdryin.com. You know, what makes this book so special and I think groundbreaking is that it comes with like 1,600 photos of dogs and cats plus a DVD. And there's a lot of praise coming from the top folks in the pet world about your book, Dr. Yen. And I don't want to make you blush, but there's a top dog called Dr. Bonnie Beaver. She is past president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. That's like a pretty good position, right, in the pet world?
Yeah, that's pretty much the top position because she's not influenced by, you know, any commercialism. She's just all about getting veterinarians and the general public to handle and treat dogs better, dogs and cats better.
Well, I always do a play by when I see her, so that's probably a good thing, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have to do play balls. But this is what Dr. Bonnie Beaver, the former president of the AVMA, has said about your book. So start to blush. She says, this book is a pictorial guide into the world of what to do and, as importantly, what not to do to reduce dogs' and cats' fear of encounters with humans. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, then this is a huge volume. The photographs show actual expressions of dogs and cats in real-life situations that anyone familiar with these animals will recognize. This type of book is long overdue. Wow. How much did you pay her for that?
I just sent her stuff and let her say what she wanted.
Wow. That's pretty great. Now, let's talk about cats. Last week, we really talked about the dogs that you did the do's and don'ts in the book. Do you find that people sometimes are just totally mystified about cats?
People are afraid of cats.
Okay.
In the veterinary hospital, people are afraid to handle cats because they don't
really
know how to read them.
Okay.
And because when cats are aggressive, they can be way more aggressive than dogs. Hey, you don't want a cat attacking you because, you know, cats, when they attack you, it's like they're possessed and they can fly. and the thing that's different about cats is, number one, you know, for one, people don't think you can train a cat. And the reason they think that is because you can't force them to do things the way we force dogs to do things, even though we didn't force dogs.
Right. Sorry, Caesar. I'm just kidding. Okay.
Yes, I know. We shouldn't be forcing dogs or cats, but because we can't force cats, we think they're stupid. You know, people tend to think they're not trainable. And really, they are. They just don't like to be forced to do things. And the other thing is they're not so motivated by praise, whereas some dogs are highly motivated by praise and actually want to please people. And cats are a little bit more independent in this manner. And so just because of those personality traits, people tend to be not sure how to communicate with cats or how to understand cats so much. And really, all they have to understand, are several things. And one of them is that cats can be, they're more likely to be afraid of things because they are prey animals. They do have to hide from things more often because they might be eaten. And so they are going to be more likely to be fearful in the veterinary hospital. And because they're going to be fearful, we have to address that. And usually what we do is in the hospital is we're not sure what to do. And so you try to just hold them still and kind of force them down by stretching out their legs, because that's what the old teachings have told us to do. And in reality, what we need to do is make them feel comfortable and safe, and then they'll be good. And an example of comfortable and safe is that you could have a cat that's hissing from you in the carrier, and you're trying to figure out, well, what are you going to do with this cat? Well, we have videos of cats in the DVD where we handle cats just like this, and we take the carrier top off, and then we put a towel over the cat so it can hide the whole time. And a lot of these cats, once they have a towel on them, they're just relaxed because they feel like they're not trapped. They feel like they can hide. And then we just do the exam by lifting the portions of the towel that we need to have lifted. And we just make sure we go slowly. And if the cat tenses up, then we do it. We handle them a different way. We just try to make them feel comfortable.
Well, you know, the towel seems to be a big ally when it comes to handling cats. And in your book, I was amazed. You got things like the burrito wrap, the scarf wrap. I mean, I thought I was at a fashion show with fur when I was looking at all the different things. But joking aside, the towel is a really important tool for not only vet techs, but people too, when they're handling their cats, don't you think?
Right. I think that people at home should learn how to use the towel appropriately for the cat. And the big thing is You know, for some cats, you can just place a towel over them, and that's all you need. But there are specific ways to wrap them, and there's a specific, you know, tightness that you want. You don't want to, like, make it so they can't breathe. But you want them to feel secure, basically, like you're hugging them, not like you're crushing them.
Right.
And the goal is that when you wrap them, they feel more comfortable and they don't try to struggle. You're mm-hmm. not trying to wrap them so hard that they can't move, if you know, even though they're screaming. You want them to be wrapped and feel secure. And really at home, the goal is to also give them treats when they're wrapped so that they learn that wrapping is good and they don't develop a dislike for it, because some cats may not like it over a time, whereas other cats are just happy to feel comfortable with it over mm-hmm. and over. So it's better to take precautions and make sure they continue to like it at home.
Well, you have a picture in your book when you were talking about counter conditioning the cat to a towel, and the cat looks like it's all wrapped up. You see nothing but the head and this beautiful tongue shot of a cat licking her chops as she's getting ready to take another tasty sample from a can of cat food. So I think what you're saying is, you know, here's a case where the cat is getting, what, a nice, pleasant association with the towel?
Right, right. We want them to enjoy being in the towel. You know, at the vet hospital, we may not have the opportunity because they're too nervous and they won't take treats. And the towel may work every single time, but there's a subset that it may not work as much over time, or especially if the owner uses it at home to
right.
help them to hold the cat still for cleaning its ears or something. So we want to make sure, we don't want to take any chances. If we have the ability, we want to make sure that they continue to like the wrap and they actually develop an idea that good things are going to happen to them when they're in it.
I think that's a good point. You know, I'm editor of catnip, which sounds like I'm into a lot of herbs that are legal, but it's actually a newsletter that goes out all over the country and has no ads, so we're like Consumer Reports for cats. And I think the photos that you have of the right and the wrong way to restrain a cat, to give a pill, brush a teeth, or get in and out of a carrier are just, I wish you could put like billboards all over America. I'm sure the cats secretly hope that too, don't you think?
Yeah, because I think it's natural for people to just do things that they've heard you're supposed to do. Like mm-hmm. a lot of people go in and the first thing they do is they scruff the cat in a hospital or a grooming situation. And for some cats, that's fine, but for other cats, that's a big insult. You know, the first thing, that would be like you going to the doctor, and the first thing they do is they just grab you and drag you somewhere, and you don't even know them.
Yeah. So let's talk about the cat. You say they are both prey, and they can be mighty aggressive when they feel like they have no other option. They can rabbit punch you. They can bite you. Pretty serious injuries, correct?
Right. So with cats, it's all about making them feel safe so that they don't get to the point where they feel like they have to attack you.
Okay. Now, are there things that we can do that they read in our body levels, emotions? Like when I take my two cats to the vet, they're there with each other, and they, you know, they fortunately trust me. So they're very easy handles to a vet tech. But I've had them come in just to get weighed. I've brought them in when I've had my dogs in for an exam where they're in the room with me, and they laugh because my vet has, here they, in one exam room, there's two dogs and two cats, and he doesn't even know which one is going to be in for the consult, you know. But it's like there's like a little support system, if you will. And it seems to work with my cats. They now don't have that trepidation. But I also know, I always say stupid things. Maybe I'm weird, but I talk to plants too, you know, so that explains a lot. I say to them, we're doing this to help you out. And you know what? Dr. Rasheri's here to do the best for you. So that's why we're here. And do you think that makes some kind of your help on the cats?
Well, I think when they won't understand your words, but
right.
they can tell the difference if you're sounding nervous or you're acting nervous. For instance, some things that people will do is they'll pet their cat, but they pet mm-hmm. them with short strokes, short patting strokes, and that that would make them nervous. Pat,
okay.
pat, pat,
makes
pat, pat, and the cat's going, I can't stand this, I can't stand this. So if you're going to pet them, it should be long strokes or more like you're massaging them. You know, it would be like if somebody came up to you and just kept patting you, and you're kind of irritated already versus...
Well, I'm short enough. I get patted a lot. Yeah, yeah. I have to deal with that. But I agree
right.
with what you're saying. That the long, purposeful strokes or the nice massages, I think, you know, that's a great tip.
And you want to see if you're getting the right response. So, you know, if they don't like it, then if they don't like it or if they're acting neutral, then you may not want to do that. Or you may want to pet them under the chin if that's what they like. And I think you, people have an idea of what their cat likes. They just have to realize, pay attention in that situation, whether their cat likes it or not. So we want to do things where we get a response where the cat starts to feel more relaxed. Sometimes in the exam room, you can take out little toys and start playing with them. Some hospitals use treats, and at my hospital, the cats will eat 50%. 50% of the cats will eat treats, so I try to bring them hungry and then bring treats that the cats like. And hopefully the exam room and the waiting room are set up nicely because that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, let's talk about that because, you know, there's a lot of practices that are for both dogs and cats, and there are some practices that are cat only. But if you are like myself where you have cats and dogs, you prefer to have, you know, one veterinarian taking care of your whole furry family. So what are some things that would bring out the best in a feline patient in the exam room or in the lobby?
So the first thing we want to think of when you enter the hospital is if your cat is afraid of dogs, then you should have them away from the dogs. If your cat is afraid of cats, you should have them away from other cats. So cats are going to be, a lot of cats are afraid of other cats, and that's really a big deal. And a lot of cats are afraid of people. So the less people and dogs and things that they're afraid of that they see, the better. And so it may mean that you want to go in when the traffic is low, or you want to get into the exam room as soon as possible, or maybe you want to cover their crate or carrier with a blanket, or even spray with Feel Away or lavender to see if either of those cause them to be calmer.
Now let's explain Feel Away for our listeners, because that's a pretty good little invention.
Yeah, Feel Away helps some cats dramatically, and in other cats it may have no effect. But for if it works on your cat, that's fantastic. So something you might as well try. But it's basically a feline facial pheromone that causes them to be more relaxed. And so often you'll get a cat that might yowl at the hospital, and on the day where you put Feel Away there, the cat is calm. So that's something to try. And the lavender, that just seems to have a positive effect on some cats. It's not something that you're going to, you know, bet a lot of money on it's going to work for your cat, but it's something that's inexpensive, and if it does work, then you're lucky. Then you might as well use it.
So, and it does no harm. That's the other part, right? It does no harm.
Right, exactly. You might as well try it. Put it on there. Put a drop of lavender oil on their blanket and put it in their carrier and then see how they do. And then in the exam room, you want to give them a little bit of time sitting in there so that they can explore if they want to. And then when the vet comes in, it's important that the vet greets the cat the right way, too. One thing is similar to dogs, it's important not to just go up and grab the cat. And, you know, a lot of people are busy, and that's what they do. Sometimes the cat may be more comfortable on the floor, and if that's so, then let's do the exam on the floor. If they're fine on the table, then the table's good. It's also a good idea to have a towel or a blanket on the table because they may be more comfortable. Or maybe they're more comfortable just sitting in their carrier. We want to do what makes the cat comfortable, because then the cat will behave more calmly and just feel more calmly at this visit and for future visits. They can also offer treats. The best thing is if they not immediately just go for a scruff hold, but rather see how the cat responds to being restrained like a dog, where you just put your hand in front of its shoulder. Now, sometimes we can put harnesses on cats, and that allows them to move around a little bit, yet we're still able to restrain them. So one difficult thing about the cat is they're so flexible. You know, they can reach around with their paws, and they can just, you know, you can do a U with their body. And we have no way of restraining them except putting our hands on them. Whereas dogs, we have a leash, or we can have a Gentileader head collar so that they don't feel so like we're hugging them, yet we have some control. And so for a cat, getting them used to a harness or having the vet put a makeshift harness made out of a leash on them can help, because for some of them, they feel that they can move around, but they don't feel like they have to be hugged or really strongly restrained. And so you know, you kind of get the best of both worlds. You can control them, but they're not being restrained tightly. And so some cats like that.
Right. I mean, I watched my two cats, Callie and Murphy, and I swear they're like natural yogis. because the things that they can do with their bodies, I have absolutely no flexibility compared to them. So they can be Houdinis, correct?
Right, right. And, you know, okay. Well, they can turn around and lick their rear end, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't been able to do that yet, you know. I don't know if I really want to, but I haven't been able to do that. You know, we're speaking of this butt joke. We're going to take a break right now. We're speaking with Dr. Sophia Yen. She is a veterinarian and applied animal behaviorist and the author of this amazing tome. It's called Low Stress, Handling, Restraint, and Behavior Modifications of Dogs and Cats. It weighs 3 pounds, listeners, but guess what? It has about 1,600 photos plus an amazing DVD. So it really is illustrating the rights and wrong ways to do things with our dogs and cats. We're going to talk to her a little bit more about how to ID different kinds of cat attitudes like fear and aggression right after we take this commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. All Behave will be right back.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at petplanetmagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. To my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. All Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's Pet Edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the OBehave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our guest is Dr. Sophia Yen. She's the author of Low Stress, Handling, Restraint, and Behavior Modifications of Dogs and Cats. Okay, I know you can't memorize that title, but just go to AskDrYen.com and you will see this book as well as the other books she's written and the training videos. She really wants to help you have a better connection with your dog and your cat. And so we're very fortunate we have her on our show. Dr. Yen, you know, there are some catitudes out there. And are there some ways, just like you did in the last show in helping us distinguish between fear and aggression in dogs, are there certain visual cues we could be looking into our felines to know if they're afraid or they're like, I'm ready to take you on?
Yeah, so for the cat, the biggest thing to look for is, are they just sitting there frozen? Because a lot of times when we think that they're sitting there looking relaxed, they're sitting there thinking about how they're scared or they don't like what's happening to them. Here's how you know what that looks like. Look at your cat when your cat is lying at home on a couch looking relaxed, and you know the cat's relaxed.
Okay.
Then look at your cat in the vet hospital when they're lying on the table in a little huddled mass, pretending that they're not there. The look
right.
is very different. They don't look relaxed. They just look like they're pretending that nobody notices them. So usually when a cat is comfortable, it will spread out a little bit. It won't have its, you know, it's not in a little ball against the wall.
Okay.
And if you bring a cat to a new environment and it's comfortable, it should feel like it should walk around the room and explore, because that's the normal behavior. If they're nervous, they're just going to be still and just lie there. And okay. I remember one person telling me, this was at a shelter, and they have the kittens that they bring out to be socialized, and they thought, well, my kittens just like to sleep. And that is very unnatural, because when kittens, when you bring them to a new location, they want to play and explore. So her kittens were just huddled all together sleeping because they were scared. So we want to look at, are they relaxed and walking around, or are they huddled just sleeping? And then the other things we want to look at are, you know, their ears. Are their ears forward, or are they kind of down low out to the side, and are they hunched down? Are they leaning away from you when you try to pet them? Is their tail twitching? Their tail shouldn't be twitching. They're not a dog.
Okay.
Dogs wag their tails when they're excited or happy. Cats twitch their tails when they're getting irritated. And then you want to see how do they respond to different things, like when you pet them. Do they rub up against you, or do they just not respond at all? If they don't respond at all, then they probably don't really like it. What we want is a positive response where they lean against you.
Now, you talked earlier in the last show about the whale eye in a dog. Is there anything with the cat's eyes that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, with cats, you usually don't see whale eye, and I think it's just because their eyes are smaller. If they try to look one way, if their head turns one way, like they're trying to keep their head away from you, but they're trying to look with their eyes towards you, unlike a dog, where with a dog you would see the whites of their eyes, with a cat you don't. But you can still tell that they're leaning against you or leaning away from you. So the most important part is, you know, are there, if they don't like something, they're going to lean away and their head's going to be down.
Do their eyes dilate? And is that dilation have anything? I was always not sure about that.
Yeah, their pupils can dilate if they're nervous too. I just often don't look straight in their eyes.
Oh, that's probably a good thing. Oops.
Because that can be a threat and make them more scared. So I'm usually looking at their ears and the rest of their body. And mostly, how tense are they?
Okay.
Are they relaxed or tense? So if you see that they're tense at all, then they're nervous.
Okay, well, while we're following this path of kind of a medical path, is there, you know, when it comes to my cat, Callie, for instance, I now have to give her a couple pills a day, and I had to give her some liquid meds, and she really, really was very, very sick around Thanksgiving, and she's 14, and thanks to my veterinarian and Dr. Arnie Plotnick, who's a cat veterinarian, they were able to kind of pinpoint what was going on, and I give her meds religiously, and she's gained her weight back, her appetite. I call her Rally Callie now, but I'm very calm and confident about giving my cat a pill. What I like about your book is you're here to help people understand, A, it's pretty darn important to give your cat a pill or its meds, right? Because I'm worrying about all the lack of compliance, because we're just freaked out about giving a cat medicine.
Right, and it is scary for people to do that at first because they don't have the tools to do it correctly. And even if they are able to give a pill or the medication, the cat starts wanting to run away from them. So then the bond between the owner and the cat gets worse. So what we really want to do is we want to train the cat to love getting pills and liquids. And this is actually really easy to do.
Okay.
So one thing that you can do is you can get a cat pill gun. And it's something that you put pills in. It's like a pencil with an end that can hold a pill.
Okay.
And you start feeding them their wet cat food from that, or even their kibble from that regularly, so that whenever they see that, they think, ooh, I'm going to get something good. And literally, when you bring that thing out, they should run over like they think they're going to get treats.
Okay.
Then, when you have to actually pill them, you just put the cat food over the pill. And then, once you give the pill, you follow up with more cat food before they realize maybe they didn't get what they thought they got. But the general idea is that the cat is going to be happy when it sees the pill gun, and then it's going to get its pill, and it may not even notice it got a pill. And even if it does, it's not going to react the same way because it started out with a positive attitude.
And doesn't that build your confidence up too, which is probably what we all need, that for us two-leggers?
Right, because you can't just say, well, you have to do it with more confidence. Well, the way that you gain confidence is you learn the skill so that you can do it. And because it also has to do with, well, how are you going to position your hands? How are you going to actually hold the cat? There's a way to do that so that the cat doesn't even try to move, yet you're not forcing the cat. You're just holding it in a secure way so it doesn't feel like trying to move. when you combine that with giving them a positive attitude about getting a pill, which it thinks is going to be a treat, then pilling just becomes like getting a treat to them. So they actually think it's going to be fun.
Well, what about when it comes to giving your cat injections? Unfortunately, there's a lot of cats out there that are diabetic. In some cases, if the dietary management option doesn't work, they need the insulin injection. So is there any tips on those fun needles that you have to give your cat?
Yeah, the injections are actually probably easier, and that needle for diabetic cats is actually really small. Basically, mm-hmm. what we want to do is we want to start by just getting them used to seeing the syringe and liking it, because some mm-hmm. of them may already think their syringe means something bad. And so what you do is you can just put the syringe out near their food, or you can put cat food or treats around the syringe, so that the only way they get their food and treats is if they go near the syringe. And pretty soon you're able to put the food on the syringe, and they're eating off the syringe, so they think the syringe is okay. Now,
okay.
That's part one. The other part is to actually get them used to being the little feel they get when they get injected. And you don't start by giving them an injection. You start by feeding them while you're touching the skin. So you might just handle the skin a little bit and while they're eating, and then you remove the food and you stop handling them at the same time. So you may handle them for 5 seconds while they're eating, and then stop for 5 or 10 seconds, and then repeat it. And when you've stopped, the goal is that they're going, hey, where's the food? When the food is presented with you touching them again, they're thinking, oh, the food is related to being touched this way. And then gradually, you start pinching the skin and handling it more roughly while they're eating. And then pretty soon, you're able to take the syringe with the cap on and just kind of poke their skin while you're holding it and while they're eating. And then before you know it, you're able to just give the injection. And if you do it systematically like that, you can often train them to be good in 1 or 2 sessions. So rather than having to chase them every day, twice a day for, you know, a month or 2 months or the rest of their life, you might as well just take 1 or 2 sessions and train them to like it.
Well, I think this is a good segue to the next thing, which when we started this, you did say to everybody, hey, folks, cats are not little dogs. They're their own species. But that said, they can be trained. And I love what you do in this book when you talk about the technique called targeting. And you have this beautiful, cute little white kitten in the pages, and I guess there's a little tabby too, that you're teaching the cat to give you a paw, right?
I don't remember if that's the one.
Yeah, page 466. Not that
okay,
I've memorized the page.
Okay, I'm glad you memorized it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's one amazing. Where I'm teaching him to run and touch his nose to a target.
Yeah. And why is that such a cool thing? If I'm a cat, you know, why would I even want to do this? But, I know that's a dumb question because I probably know the answer to that, but you're the one with all the credentials. Why is it fun to teach your cat targeting and tricks?
Well, I think it's great for the cat because now they have a positive way to interact with you. And so actually the first thing I teach cats and kittens to do is actually to sit, because all animals should learn how to be polite and ask for what they want, and to stay out of their personal space until you ask them in, so that they're not just jumping all over you or meowing and meowing till they get what they want. And if you teach them to sit quietly, that can be their way of saying, please, I would like your attention, or I would like a treat, or I would like to be petted. And once you teach them to sit, it's very easy to teach them to come when called. And I have this video on my website too. And basically, when you have them sit and you reward them for sitting, then you walk away, and they want to follow you and sit again because they know they're going to get more treats. And then when you're able to, you know, walk away 5 or 10 feet and they immediately run after you to get another treat, you can start putting the word come right before they run over. And so when you get the kitten trained, that way you can use sit and come as an alternate behavior instead of performing naughty behaviors. So for instance, if the cat starts jumping on the table, which you don't want it on, you can call them over to you and then keep them occupied for maybe 30 seconds to a minute so that he doesn't remember he jumped on the table first. Or if your cat wants to go over and bug the new kitten you just got, you can do a come when called and get him so that he'll stay focused on you instead of bugging the other pet. And basically, it's a great way to teach them to do things that you want instead of just trying to punish them for things that you don't want.
Which is works for two-leggers, too. I mean, I would be more apt to help somebody with praise than I would with lots of little sidewise cracks, right?
Right, right. Plus, those sidewise cracks make the people mad at you.
That's right, that's right. You know, we're speaking with Dr. Sophia Yen. She is a veterinarian and applied animal behaviorist. She has created this amazing reference guide that should be in every veterinary clinic, should be part of every veterinary technician's schooling. And I think we should all have it as folks that are lucky enough to have a dog or a cat or so in our lives. It is called Low Stress, Handling, Restraint, and Behavior Modification of Dogs and Cats. Don't worry, I'm not quizzing you on memorizing the title. Just go to her website, askdryen.com, where you can find out more about this book, a lot of her training videos. She's got a couple other books out there. And is there anything I'm missing on that one, Dr. Yen, before we bid adieu?
I think that was it. Just the website, askdryen.com. And if you have questions, you can submit them to me on my blog.
Well, I give you a big paws up for everything that you're doing for us and for our pets. And I feel very fortunate that you were able to come back for a back-to-back show, first with dogs and now with cats. There is so much that we're just scratching at the surface with her. But you give really good advice. And, you know, I don't know, what's the biggest joy you get out of having a dog or a cat in your life?
Just looking at them smile at me.
Really?
I'm looking at my dog, Jonesy, and I love to see him smiling at me. It's so wonderful.
That's so funny, because on the cover of the book, is that Jonesy that's smiling at you in the book?
Yes, that's him.
He does have a celebrity canine grin, I got to tell you. What a cutie. It's amazing what our pets can do for us in our life. So again, I thank Dr. Yen for being a guest on our show. You know, I want you listeners to dash over to your keyboards and click on her website. It's askdryen.com, and look at this book. It's really going to help you. At this time also, I want to give a big pause and applause to my cool producer, Mark Winter, who makes this show happen each and every week. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Obehave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Obehave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Obehave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.